pray for us. I find one thing to be true wherever we go. Whatever state I'm in, there's sinners that need to be saved.
Amen.
And there's lives that are hurting and hearts that are broken and families that are struggling. The devil's in the shredding business. He's in the tearing apart business.
Right.
I see it in my place. You're seeing it in your place.
Right.
And it just sometimes just makes me mad. Does it?
That
the devil's just hounding our families. And so you pray that God have his way in this day. I'm going to get straight into it, and then we will. We'll go eat. Amen. I'm going to take my watch off. That little boy said, Daddy, why is that preacher? What does it mean when he takes his watch off and sets it to the side? And the daddy said, absolutely nothing, boy. Be quiet. But I'm going to take it off and just open the door. If I get a smell of food, I'll stop right where I am. I'll read this before we go. Before I preach, but it says an optimist, and y'all know what an optimist and a pessimist is.
Yeah.
And they went duck hunting. I might have said this last time I was here, but when you got one joke, you tell it everywhere, amen? But the optimist and a pessimist went duck hunting in a boat, and every time they shot a duck, the optimist would send his dog to get it. And as incredible as it sounded, the dog would just walk across the water, grab the duck, walk right back. And that took place all day, the rest of the day. Every time they shot a duck, that dog walked across the water, get the duck, bring it back in the boat. And the whole day, the pessimist didn't say a word. And so when they got done, while cleaning up later that evening, the optimist, he couldn't wait any longer. And he turned to the pessimist and he said, by the way, did you notice anything unusual about my dog? That pessimist looked up and said, yep, you can't swim. But anyway, it's easy to be a pessimist in this day and time that we're living concerning things, concerning our country, concerning our neighborhood, concerning our churches. But we better look on the brighter side.
Amen.
Because a brighter day is coming.
Amen. Amen.
And so we got to keep our heads lifted up. And the devil says to us pastors, I put me in the midst of it. He'll say oftentimes the sermon didn't go anywhere, it didn't do anything, and you didn't accomplish nothing. Somebody said, do you like what you want to quit every Monday morning? No, but some Sunday nights I want to kill. Amen. I'm picking, but I'm contented when I know I've done what God wants me to do.
Amen.
And we are to do it for the glory of God, not for the applause of man. And so may God help us to continue marching on.
Yes.
But bear with my voice. I yelled at my people too much last night. Amen. But to Acts 26, if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter number 26. I want to read. Beginning in verse number 12, Acts 26 and verse number 12, just a few verses here as Paul, it speaks concerning Paul. He says, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority commissioned from the chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying, in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering from thee the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee.
Amen.
To open their eyes. Thank God we need that.
Amen.
And to turn them from darkness. How we need that this
Amen.
Day. To light.
Amen.
And from the power of Satan unto God. That they may receive forgiveness of sins.
Yeah.
And inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
Yeah.
Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. By the way, folks still go about wanting to kill you if you preach Jesus in this day.
Right.
And in verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people, unto the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. In other words, he said, Paul, you're crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what the liberals are saying about us Christians today.
Sure.
You're crazy. You're gone mad. You've fallen off the rock. And in essence, and here's what he said in verse 25. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. So, what are we to do in this day? We're not to go out and riot. We're not to go out and break glass and pound police cars. What we're to do is we're continue to speak forth truth and lift up the banner and old-time religion. Here's what he said. He said, for the king knoweth of these things, but for whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. I want Paul's reading right there. I want you to direct your attention back to verse 22. Paul said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day.
Amen.
I want to preach for just a moment. Trust you'll find some strength and help in this message tonight on finding help in the midst of hardness. Finding help in the midst of hardness. Would you pray with me? Our Father, Lord, we do thank you for this evening, God. Thank you for bringing us here safely. Lord, thank you for the traveling mercies you've given each one of them. And God, we pray that you just touch and help. Lord, how we need you in this time. God, we're just a feeble people, Lord, without you. Lord, you told your disciples, without me, we can do nothing. So, God, we pray, God, that you just touch us and help us. And Lord, without you right now, all we have is man's words and man's wisdom. But Lord, Father, we need your touch. We ask God that you give us that anointing that from on high. And Lord, that you just help us, Father, to say exactly what you want, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, bless this meeting. Bless the one that preached tonight. God, bless all that takes place. And Lord, their respective works, churches. Oh, Lord, I pray that you just we'll see a flourishing in this day. Lord, that you'd refire us and redesire us, God, to serve you like we never have before.
Yes.
God, give us that fresh touch. Give us that fresh oil tonight. And Lord, give us exactly, Lord, what the world cannot give us.
Amen.
Lord, just be with us, guide us, and help us. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And you'll notice just a quick background at the time of this writing in the text. You'll find Paul speaking for himself. Back in verse number two, I think he said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." In other words, he said, "You can speak for yourself." And Paul said, "I'd be happy to speak for myself. Too many people have spoken for me, and let me just tell you what God has done for me." He had been in the midst of the enemy for some time, not knowing what was before him. In chapter 20, he called the elders together at Miletus and saying in Acts 20, verse 22, he said, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saving the bonds, that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me," he said. "Neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course." Notice he said, "Finish it with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." And he wasn't looking for a stopping point, to Paul, was it? He was not trying to get out. He was looking for more ways to get in. Amen.
Amen.
He was not trying to hide behind the curtain. He was trying to keep serving God in his day. And oh, how we ought not look for ways to back up. We ought to look for ways to get more in at the service of God. You'll find that the elite of his day, they were against him, but not just against Paul. They were against the one he served. May we keep our minds clear in that. They don't just dislike us as people. They dislike the one who we give our allegiance to, the one we bow our knee to, and the one we call our Savior. And so in chapter 24, his opposers informed the governor against Paul. He got to witness to Felix, but he was willing to please the Jews, so he left Paul bound. In chapter 25, the high priest and the Jews informed Festus about Paul. Then in chapter 26 here, King Agrippa told Paul that he could speak for himself. And Paul said, "Thank you, I think myself happy to speak for myself." And he began to tell his testimony. I read it there beginning in verse number 12. He began to tell them exactly what took place to him in Acts chapter number 9. One thing about Paul, he never got far from Acts chapter number 9. Now, I remember over 28 years ago, as an 11-year-old boy, the Holy Ghost of God knocked on my heart, convicted me of my sin, and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. No matter where I go in this life, I don't ever need to get far from August 8th, 1990, as an 11-year-old boy, when God came and saved my soul. Paul didn't get far from it. Then in verse number 12, he told them how things changed and how that he preached Jesus and the Jews sought to kill him. In verse 22, as I said, he said, "Having obtained help of God, I continue." And I want to focus on that a little bit tonight. Amen. Having obtained help of God, he said, "I continue." A lot of folks would have just threw in the towel. A lot of folks would have said, "I've had enough. The ministry is supposed to be of joy." And many people get out of it. They say, "I didn't know the tears were involved. I didn't know the heartbreak was involved. When I surrendered at age 20. I thought, boy, I was just like old man. I said, I'm fixing to shut hell down. Amen. I'm fixing to just make a difference. And thank God we can make a difference. But you know that seal, and we still ought to have it. We're having 20 or 120. We ought to not lose that zeal to serve God. But man, I was ready. I entered Bible college. I was ready to go. Man, I was ready to preach. I was ready to serve, do anything that God wanted me to do. But I really didn't know all that was involved. Now, having pastored almost 10 years, I didn't see every tear that I would shed. I didn't see the families that would fall apart. I didn't see the graveyards that were full and filling up of older but younger alike. I didn't see the heartbreak and the trouble and the trial and the toil of people. I didn't realize that, but we're realizing it more as we go. But he began to tell his testimony some, but he began to say, "I've got some help from God." And the only reason only way he could say, "Hey, I'm still where I am," is the fact that he said, "I've obtained help of God." And the only way you and I can say we are where we are tonight, and we're not on skid row out yonder, is because we have obtained help of God throughout our journey. At times when I wanted to quit, at times when I wanted to give up, thank God he lifted me up and said, "Boy, you're going to keep going another mile." He said, Paul said, I've obtained help of God. The only reason he could give was verse 22. And Paul wasn't aware of some of the hardness when he began his journey that he would face. And he had said, I don't know everything before me. Yet he learned quickly how much Jesus was despised and rejected. As I mentioned, as a young preacher, I'm still a young preacher. I hit 4-0 the other month. And so I'm feeling aches and pains that I didn't know I had. Paul, you realize some things as you go. And Paul wasn't aware, but he learned the more he testified of that one that he used to despise himself. The more he preached him, the more people got against him, and the more they rejected him and despised his preaching. He told young Timothy toward the end of his life, he said in 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I'll tell you what we need in this day. We need some soldiers to armor up. We don't need sissies. And we don't need those that's running from the battle. We need those with a Bible and say, "Let's go. God be in our helper. We'll obtain help and continue on in this race." He told Timothy, I've had some older preachers tell me, I get around them, I try to get all out of them what I can, and by the way, let them do the talking, amen. Now, they've got more for me to hear than I've got to tell. Right. And I think about what Paul, no doubt he spoke to Timothy personally and gave him a lot of wisdom. And the only way we'll make it in this day and time, and one older preacher said, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not starting out up now. And you know, they had their day, and thank God they're still having it. They shouldn't quit. Thank God for them. But you know, God has us in this day for such a time as this.
Right.
And sometimes I read about the old days, and boy, we see God moved and how God moved, and we somewhat say, well, hell, I guess if we want to see God move, we got to read about it in a book. And that's good. I love reading about it. I love hearing the old timers talk about it. There's some in my church from the 50s and 60s. God came through and saved a whole bunch back then. And I love hearing about it. But I tell them I want something now. I want something my kids can see. I want something my kids can get a hold of and tell their kids one day what God did. We got to get help of God. The only way we're going to make it this day is obtain help from God. Daddy, mama, and children, my four kids. The devil will say, not just the devil, but some people will say, oh, it's impossible to raise kids for God in this day. I'll tell you one thing, my kids may grow up one day. They may turn their back on everything that we teach them. But may they turn their back. May they have something that has been given to them that they can turn their back on. Amen. A lot of kids, if we don't give them nothing, they ain't going to be anything. And then we can get down on this generation. And I'm seeing such a generation gap in this day. Grandchild, there's nothing wrong embracing what grandpa had, if it's right, if it's biblical.
Right.
We're seeing a lot today. They're wanting to shut the Bible, and they're wanting to go to this newfangled stuff and contemporary outfit and all that junk that don't have God on it. You say, how do you know? Because I've been around some of that in the past days, and God's nowhere around that stuff. I'm telling you, what we need is an old-fashioned revival of Holy Ghost preaching. Holy Ghost anointing and getting help of God again, and our young people will see it, and they'll see something real and want a dose of what we got.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. The psalmist said, Psalm 38:22, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. We all need the help of God. Mama, daddy, children, grandma, grandpa. You don't ever live long enough where you can say, well, I don't need your help anymore, Lord. We all need the help of God. But I want to think about just a couple things before we eat. Some Eric, why do I need the help of God? Preacher, what do I need the help of God in to continue like Paul? Paul said, having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. How am I going to continue one more day? Right. I believe we need the help of God so that we can preach faithfully.
Amen.
So that we can preach faithfully. Right. I think you'll agree with this. God still uses preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
He still uses preaching in His house today. And help will be found in the church house where preaching is still the priority. Where we've got everything under the sun as the main focus now. Many have taken the pulpit out. Many have canceled their services. Many don't no longer so much the more. And we're wondering why people are starving to death. We're wondering what's going on. It's because the pulpit has become silent. Amen. We need the preaching of the Word of God.
It's good.
Psalm 20 verse 2 says, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Every God called man of God needs the help of God to continue to stand up and continue to speak up and continue to preach, thus saith the Lord. Our politicians sit around the table and they may talk. And they may say, well, what do we need in this country? A lot of folks, they may say, well, we need better economics. We need better gas prices. Not only, I agree with them there, but we need better businesses. Multiple opinions come across the table when they go to talking. But I believe what we need more than anything, and what churches need more across this land, more than anything else, more than plays and more than programs and more than comedy acts, we need the preaching of this blessed old Bible again. And let fire get back in the pulpit, and let it get a flame of fire, and let folks hear God speak, thus saith the Lord. But what churches are getting nowadays in many places is just a little devotional so they can go out and play. I've heard people say, well, let's just go and get it done so we can have the rest of the day. Oh, how sad it is. There's a day when the preacher had already been with God before he ever got before the people. There was a day when the preacher had been in that book and had been on his knees and had something to say when he got before the people from the Word of God. And the Bible was his authority. The Holy Ghost was his instructor. And truth was the standard that he went by. Amen. Now many times, many modern day preachers have become buddy-buddy. Just one of the poets. They're more interested in crowd pleasing than Bible preaching. They won't have a desire to be more hip than holy. And to just be Mr. GQ of the year. God didn't call me to be cool. God didn't call me to impress. God didn't call me to try to get a crowd. Jesus said, I'll build my church. You go out and tell the gospel. You preach the gospel. You tell folks of the gospel. And he said, I'll build my church. It'll work. Now we're looking to the Rick Warrens of how to build a church. And we're trying to find purpose. I'll tell you what a purpose is. It'll be found in the pages of the Word of God. We've been programmed to believe that preaching is out of date. They say if you preach anymore, you'll yawn them to death. But they yawned in Jesus' day. You're always going to have yawners. Amen. I've yawned in my own preaching a time or two. Amen. I tell my folks, you fall asleep. That helps me. That just lets me know you trust me. Amen. But you always have that. But I'm telling you, we're being programmed in this day. That preaching's out of date, out of style, and out of touch. And they say the young generation needs games and plays and programs and everything else. There's nothing wrong with activity. Inactivity's place. But when it's preaching time, it's time for preaching of the Word of God. I'll tell you what young people need. They need to see a pulpit, a flame of fire again in this day. Preach faithfully. How am I going to continue to do that? How are you going to continue to do that? We got to obtain help of God. We got to get help of God in this day. You say, I heard a preacher one time, he said, well, you don't ever find Jesus anywhere preaching condemnation. He never called names. Well, what do you call a generation of vipers? Hypocrites. What do you call those things? Jesus came preaching. Now, Jonah preached an 8-word sermon. That'd make a lot of Baptist folk happy, wouldn't it? Just go preach an 8-word sermon and go to the house. I'm telling you, 8-word sermon caused the whole city to repent. You think about what, as John the Baptist, he came preaching in the wilderness. The apostles went through the towns preaching the gospel. Paul preached and saw a triumph of converted souls, but also trouble from unbelieving sinners. And yet as Paul stands before Agrippa here in Acts 26, he's still preaching the same old book, that same old gospel that got a hold to him in Acts chapter 9.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I'm persuaded Paul got under conviction when he was holding the coat of Stephen. I think Paul, he got to seeing some things that his religion wasn't right lining up with. Hey, God needs to help us to obtain the help of God so that we can still preach faithfully. But I believe we need the help of God so that we can practice consistently. Practice consistently. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. The book of James, you recall, speaks of our justification before men. And it's to practice works to what we have believed. It's not a work salvation. It is we are putting forth our works because we are saved before a lost and dying world and showing them that salvation does make a difference.
Yes,
James chapter 2, he says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I don't work. I'm not here tonight preaching and trying to be saved.
Right.
I preach because, of course, I was called, but I live for God. I attempt to do the best I can because there was a day God did save me.
Amen.
Because I am a child of God. It affects what I do, how I think, where I go. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. I'm afraid a lot of folks got demon theology.
Yeah.
Oh, I've had folks say, oh, I believe in God. Me and the man upstairs, we're okay. Let me just say he's way more than the man upstairs. I don't like that disrespect. Of course, when you're talking to sinners, you just got to go on and do the best you can. Try to talk to them. But just the mindset concerning God in this day. We are to walk in the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit. And the only way we do that is to get help of God.
Amen.
Because we all live in the robe of clay.
Right.
We all, when I got saved, God didn't say, my old man. You say, well, I think I'm perfect. Well, you let somebody cut you off at a red light. Yeah. You're going to say, God bless you. Thank you for doing that. I mean, our flesh fights against the Spirit. And the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. And every day we've got a battle. Paul said, I die daily. In other words, what that meant was basically, I think Paul got up and said, okay, Paul, you ain't having Paul's way today.
Right. Yeah.
Paul, you ain't getting the last word today. God, whatever God says, it's going to be preeminent over what Paul wants.
Amen.
Now, if we just learn to die daily, practice consistently. I need the help of God.
Yes.
We need the help of God to pray fervently.
Yes.
To pray fervently. Can anybody raise your hand and both hands and say, preacher, I'm at the peak of prayer life, and boy, I've mastered it, and I pray like I ought to, and boy, my mind never wanders, and I've never fallen asleep while I got up a while back in the beginning portion. We just sang the first song. I got up. Made an announcement too. I wasn't looking out yonder yet. And I said, brother so-and-so, pray for us. And he was like this. I'm like, oh man. Well, I couldn't say, well, he's asleep. No, don't, never mind. So I sat there a minute. Finally, his wife sat there hitting him. And after about 20 seconds, he went to praying. Amen. I don't know what he said. I think he's speaking in tongues. No, I'm kicking. But sometimes when we pray, our mind can go 20 different directions.
Yeah. Sure.
And we got to refocus. And I don't know about you, I need help of God when I get my prayer closet. And to stay focused and say, oh God, I need your help. Because in just a moment, I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow. I'm thinking about what I didn't do or didn't do yesterday. I need the help of God to pray fervently. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Not just anybody can pray. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
Kind of like if I was sat here and somebody wanted to sit down, I squeeze over. I think we do too much squeezing over for sin.
Yeah.
If we make room for. He said, if you're constantly making room for sin, if you're constantly going toward it, you're going to have something between you and your prayer life, and you're going to wonder why you're not getting through. That word fervent means with earnest zeal. How many of us go every time we pray, and we pray with earnest zeal? So I'm honest with you tonight. I'm not trying to impress you. Sometimes I go to pray, and I don't have the zeal. I go to pray and I don't even know what to say.
It's good.
I go try to pray, and my church is full of needs. But sometimes when I go to try to pray for them, I just have to just be quiet and say, God, I can't speak. I'm just going to sit still for a minute. And the Bible says at times we better just be still and know that He's God.
Amen.
Oh, I need the help of God.
Amen.
So that I can pray fervently.
Right.
I believe God was gracious with America. This past election,
because
there were some folks praying fervently.
Sure.
I told my church after that Wednesday night, I said, I know we didn't get John the Baptist, but thank God we didn't get Jezebel. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm saying I need the help of God to pray like I ought to pray. I believe the success of the Christian life will be marked by the fervency of our prayer life. What took Paul from the stonings? Well, he was just a great Christian. Paul would tell you that.
Right.
What took Paul from the beatings and the trouble? and the pain and the opposition. Even the shunning of his own family of the Pharisees. I believe what took him along his journey was the fact that he had a prayer life. The joy, his joy came not from his friends or his foes, but from his fervency that he expressed in prayer. When he and Silas were thrown in the prison in Acts 16, the Bible says, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed. A lot of times now we go straight to that singing part. And I like singing. But I believe that says they prayed first.
Yeah.
And so I think they had an old-fashioned prayer meeting right there in the jailhouse.
Yeah.
And when they finally said amen, I think all the people that was around them, they were sitting there like this. And Paul probably looked at Silas and said, hey, Silas, let's sing a song. Man, they got to singing one of them old Jewish hymns. And man, they got to singing and glory fell into that place. And that's how God moved, was through prayer. I think if they had skipped the prayer, they wouldn't have the boldness to sing a song. You see, Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for thee. Now think about it. You ever had anybody, and we preachers do it well, I'm praying for you. Fact is, a lot of times we lie. I've said that to folks. Have you, Brother Daniel? And I forgot to pray for him.
Sure.
I was at one preacher at a meeting, and I said, right after I started pastoring, I said, would you pray for me? I don't know what I'm doing. Now, 10 years later, I still don't know what I'm doing. I said, we was walking outside of the eating place, and I said, well, pray for me, brother, if you would. He just stopped right there and started praying right there where we were. And what I know somebody one time, they said, pray for me. They saw him in Walmart. He just stopped right there. He said, I got to do it when you ask me or I might forget it. But pray. The Bible says, Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you that thy faith fail not. Pray through discouragements. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. He preached, he prayed, he served. And yet at one time, he got to a place where he said, I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, you talking about Jeremiah? I'm talking about Jeremiah. He said, I'm through.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not preaching another sermon. And yet within his soul, he was not left alone. And Jeremiah 20 verse 9, then I said, he said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak anymore in his name. Have you ever said that, preacher? I ain't preaching again. I'm done. Come Wednesday night, God's going to give you something, you get back in the pulpit. Jeremiah said, I'm through, I'm not speaking anymore in his name. Here's what kept him. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, I got with God, and it got in my heart, and I had some fire again, and before I knew it, I was preaching the same old word. Jeremiah said, I could not quit. I need the help of God so that we can pray fervently. But quickly, getting close to eating. Amen. I feel the stomach starting to turn and churn. We need the help of God so that we can plant expectantly.
Amen.
Have a lot of farmers around my area. And in the springtime, I have one man that does it predominantly for a living all his life. He's done it. Others have done it on the side some. But he's told me a lot of nuggets, things that I turn around in my mind. David said in Psalm 62, they only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delighted in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him.
Amen.
Do we expect God to do anything?
Yeah.
How many services have we, the preacher, walked in there? We had our 3 points, and we had our outline, and our plan was just going to get up and preach and go to the house. And we really didn't expect God to do anything. We went there maybe a little discouraged. And we just didn't expect God to do anything. And the quicker I learn, it's not in the fanciness of my delivery. It's in the power of God. If He wants to blow through there, He can. If He wants to touch that sinner's heart, He can. Thank God He died for whosoever will may come. Thank God I'm there. It's not the elect few, but it's for the whole world that can be saved. And we are to plant expecting. That farmer said if he put it in the ground in March and April, you know what they do? They plant expectingly. They don't put, they'd be down the whole time if they just plant and never expect it to come up. And now they've just got done harvesting recently, Oh boy, they've seen it. Sometimes it yields better than other times, but they see a harvest. Same way it is spiritually. Yes. And oh, how we ought to plant the seed, expecting the seed to bring forth fruit. The Bible tells us, who then is Paul in Corinthians, and who is Apollos, but ministered by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are the one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are laborers together with God. So we plant the seed. We knock on the door, tell them about Jesus. About 2 miles down the road, there's a wolf, they call her the wolf lady. She has some a sign out there, wolves or something. I don't know if she has any wolves or not. But man, we went to the door. A man that just died in my church, he went first a few years ago. We went back. Man, she just slammed the door. She didn't want anything to do with it. And you know, sometimes you feel like, well, bombed out there. Don't you don't you underestimate the power of that seed.
Amen.
That seed is powerful. Sometimes you look at the field, they plant the spring. Those farmers in my area, I see them riding around. Once they've planted, they'll ride around. They'll go down to the bottom and look at the field. I'm like, what are you doing? I don't really know, but they know what they're doing. Yeah. And they just go and look. Sometimes they may say, oh man, there's just nothing going on. Sometimes we look across our church and we say, man, there's nothing going on because we don't hear a shout. Because we don't see the masses coming. Because we're not seeing folks saved by the multitudes. And some of that, well, there's just nothing going on. No. But underneath out in that field, underneath that soil, there's something going on.
Amen.
It's going to sprout up.
Right.
But there's something going on under the ground where you and I cannot see. We are to just get the help of God and to keep planting and to keep telling and to keep witnessing and to keep giving the word of God out. In due season, God will give the increase.
Right.
We are to obtain the help of God. This generation needs to know what God did for your generation. The God of Moses, of Daniel, of David, of Elijah, is the same God.
Yes, sir.
We get up and preach, oh, Malachi says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. He is. But sometimes we act like he's feeble and on life support. Sometimes we go to God and we say, Lord, now I've got this prayer if you can handle it. Let me just say to all of us, God can handle whatever we put before him. He's the God of all gods. The very reason we're losing some of our nation's heritage tonight is because we are trying to change some things, and we quit praying and we quit preaching. We quit practicing our Christianity. Oh, how we need to get help of God so that we can continue on in this day.
Amen.
I give you this and I'm done. We'll go eat. We are to also get the help of God as Paul did, so we continue to protect our heritage steadfastly.
Amen.
Paul penned to Timothy. He said in 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us.
Man.
Paul told young Timothy, it's not all in the hype. It's not all in the show. It's not all in the what this world puts it on. He said, you've been given a good thing.
Amen.
You keep it.
That's good, preacher.
What we need in this day, my daddy was a preacher, and he's got dementia now some, and all that. But I'll tell you, there was a day he handed me a good thing.
Amen.
I don't plan to drop it. I don't plan to let it go for any liberal outfit. But why? Because when you got a good thing, why do you want to trade it in for something else? Got a good thing. Old time religion, the old hymns of Zion. Thank God for the church house. I'm not looking to get out. I'm looking for ways to get in. And thank God Paul was in the place. He said, we need to protect our heritage steadfastly. Paul, don't you let me die. Or to Paul may have said, Timothy, don't you let me die and then you come and changing everything and going to some newfangled. You're going to hear some vain jangling and you're going to hear they're not going to take heed to the sound doctrine. You, matter of fact, you'll come to some that has itching ears and they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and deniers of God, deniers of the truth. The way you protect something is to pass it on. The way you protect it is to pass it on. I've heard parents, and I'm a parent, and I'm a learner. I got a 12-year-old, one more year before teenager. God help me. But the way you pass something, I've heard say, well, I'm just going to let them choose for themselves. And no, if I really believe that I'm, as an old-time, Bible-believing, independent, fundamental Baptist, if I believe that's right, I'll have enough fervor in me to tell my kids that's right.
Amen.
And say, stay with it. Keep it. Don't let it go.
Praise the Lord.
You say the very reason we're losing some of our nation's heritage is because some are trying to change the history. Our spiritual heritage is at stake. I believe we're to pass on our Baptist heritage. One fellow said, well, I won't die on the hill being called a Baptist. Why? I ask. A bunch of our forefathers did. They were filleted alive and burned at the stake. Why? Just standing for doctrine. Just standing for truth. Those who died for the doctrines that we still hold today. The lines are being blurred like never before. And we must have the help of God. Paul said in verse number 22 of chapter 26, he said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Now, I like that word, witnessing.
Amen.
How in the world are we going to keep witnessing? Just get the help of God.
Amen.
Well, so last night, they just didn't want to hear it. Just get the help of God and go forward.
Amen.
Paul said, I've got the help of God to continue to this day. And oh, how we need the help of God. Why? How? Why, preacher? To preach faithfully, to practice consistently, to pray fervently, to plant expectantly, and to protect what we've been given steadfastly. That's what we need.
Amen.
Amen.
And by the grace of God, we can get the help to do that very
Amen.
Thing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I sure love you.